Bibles this evening to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. This evening, I'd like to look at self-deceit. Deceive ourselves. Again, this is something that we don't like to admit. That's the title. You know, self-deceit. That's the whole basis of so many misclassifications of sin in our lives, isn't it? Oh, I'm not really doing that. We're deceiving ourselves. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 is a verse that I love and I've preached on a number of times. I got to admit that Sunday, this was about the only verse I could hear through with and through the messages Dr. Davis brought. The Bible here reads, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." That's how easy it is to let the things that we have heard and the things that we have stood for and said, how easy it is to let them slip, to put them aside for a little bit. And we tell ourselves that, oh no, nothing changed. I'm the same person I've always been. And we deceive ourselves. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word, its truth, and its power. And thank you for the many things that we've been learning and reminded of in the last few days. And Lord, I pray that as we open your word again, your spirit would be with us and work among us. And that our hearts will be moved closer to Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. We've heard a lot of great messages in the last week. And some of the things are things that we know or have taught others. And some of the things that may be new to you. So either way, this passage applies. If it's something that you have known and are standing on, then stand firm. If it's something that you have known and maybe just haven't been working on lately, then we need to grasp it and pull it back. If it's something that you didn't know, it's a new principle to you, you need to, it says, that give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. So you've heard it now, if you didn't before. These are biblical principles. You need to build your life on them. You need to make them a part of your life. Let's read a few more verses here. "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" So there's a great consequence to letting the things that we have heard slip. Think about it. Now, this isn't saying you'll lose your salvation, but there are some who will find out someday that they never really were saved. Russell, hold your hands, please. Because they heard them. They had an outward walk. Everybody thought they were fine, and so they were fine with that. But someday they'll stand before God and God will say, "I never knew you. You might have said my name, but I never knew you." Some, as it says in Corinthians, will stand before the Lord and their works will be tried. And they will be saved, yet so as by fire. All their works will be hay and stubble, burnt up. Then there are others, which is what we strive to be, that when our works are tried by fire, yes, there'll be such as is burnt away because we're humans. But what is left ought to be gold and silver and precious stones, that which is built on the Lord Jesus Christ. to do that, to be, to come through the final testing, the judgment seat of God in that way, we need to adhere to Hebrews 2:1 and some other passages. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. It's easy to let things slip away. In fact, the very word slip, I mean, if you just use it as the word slip, it's easy to get the word picture, isn't it? It's not something that just falls. It's not something that just comes crashing down. It's something that slips. You know, a little bit there, slipping and sliding until it's gone. There's contact all the way until it crashes at the end. That slip, when we think about slip, we think of something that is not a free fall. There's contact all the way. And sometimes because of that contact, we think, well, I never let go. I just not holding it as firm as before. But if you look at the Hebrew word, the Greek word here, for slip, it actually refers to the movement of water, such as if a pot had a crack in it, and the water is dripping out of that crack. That's one use of the word. It's slipping out or dripping, just seeping through that crack. Little by little, you hardly notice it, but that pot's getting emptier all the time. Or another way that the word is used is for, again, with water. Water slowly taking something away from where it was supposed to be. So, for instance, you have a building on the side of a stream or a river, and that the water is carving away the bank begins to carve out underneath that building until eventually it falls in. Or if you have a boat tied up to a dock, and your mooring isn't quite as tight as it should be, and the waves are washing that boat back and forth, and that it's tugging on that rope until finally the knot comes out, and then the boat drifts away down the stream, so the current taking it away. So these are all uses for the Greek word there. It's a very picturesque word. It's all things that you wouldn't really think about, would you? You picture, if you will, like that the house on the bank. It stands for years and years and years. And unless there's a flood or some major happening, you don't really notice the bank washing away, do you? And if you go out and measure it, maybe you take a measurement once a year or maybe even longer, but it's not something that you just look out there and you go, huh, that bank's washing away. And then you look at the next day and you go, man, I got to do something about it. It's slowly, gradually disappearing. Not very noticeably, but it's going nonetheless. Same with that little crack in the pot. Just a slow drip. In fact, I don't know how good of a parallel this is, but the toilet tank in the shop has a crack like that. And if you look at the tank, when it's dry, that crack dries up. You can't tell it's there. But when there's water in the tank, that the crack opens just slightly, so you can see this hairline. And before we figured out what, actually Tiffany was the one who figured it out, I couldn't figure out what was wrong with this toilet tank, because it's always full, but there was always water under the toilet. What was going on? Well, there's just this slow little drip, drips once every 4 or 5 minutes, so it's not even that frequent. So it's not empty in the toilet tank, because, you know, there's water pressure. It always just fills itself back up. But it was constantly dripping a little bit away, lest at any time we let them slip, just a little bit at a time. And there's any number of ways we let them slip, but we tell ourselves, I haven't really changed. I'm not doing anything different. I'm doing things better than I was before. Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians. We need to understand that this is a problem that we all have. It's not something that, again, like all these things we've been looking at, it's easy to say, oh, so-and-so is doing that. Yeah, that's real obvious in their life. But the obvious things are not what Hebrews 2:1 is talking about. Hebrews 2:1 is talking about the slipping, the little washing away. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 also looks at it the same way. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Think about that. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. God, I've got it all figured out. I'm following you. I'm a good Christian. Everybody looks up to me. They come to me for advice. Everything's great. I'm doing everything the way my pastor told me. It's all good. I'm a good Christian. And then not paying attention to that bank eroding away until there's just too much pressure and the house falls over into the drink. Wherefore, I want you to notice the wording, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed. It's the same as Hebrews 2:1. It's the taking heed. It's the watching. It's the paying attention that is the corrective measure here. But we don't take heed when we tell ourselves, everything's fine. Everything's fine. I'm going along just as planned. It's all good. So how does it happen? How does this self-deceit of this laziness and not taking heed come about? We'll turn to James chapter 1. And verse 22 says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now think about that. Again, this is the passage we say, oh, well, you know, I don't have that problem. Look in the mirror and I am who I see. Great. You just called yourself exactly what the passage is talking about. Because you walk away from that mirror and life got busy, so you're not looking at the mirror. Right? How many of us have had God speak to our hearts over the weekend and went about our business on Tuesday and did not think about it at all? Think about that for a moment. That's exactly what this passage is talking about. Let me just ask you real quick, and I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands because I don't want to embarrass you, but did you think about any of those messages at all today? Now it's, you know, 2 days after the last one. Did any of them, even some principle, cross your mind at all today? Before I started preaching, that is. Before I reminded you. That's what this passage is talking about. We've looked into the perfect law of liberty. We've beheld ourselves in a mirror. We've seen ourselves in the Word of God. And said, yes, God, that's me. That's something you need to work in my life, and I'd like to give that to you. But now I'm going to go to work. But now I'm going to clean the house. Now I'm going to do my schoolwork. Now I'm going to go play, whatever it might be. And we tend to be forgetful hearers. And see, it says in verse 22, deceiving your own selves. This deceiving is not somebody who just says, well, I'm going to do what the Bible says, but it's somebody in this passage who hears the word, looks at themselves according to the word and says, oh, that's my mirror. Let the Holy Spirit speak to my heart. But doesn't do it. See, they're receiving it, but they're not applying it. They're not doing it. They're not submitting So that's how it happens that we get to this place of self-deception. Oh, man, every time a preacher gets up there, I get convicted. Or every time we have a special speaker, I get convicted. I'm such a good Christian, and my heart's so tender to the Holy Spirit, and I go to church because God talks to me. Great. But do you remember what He says? Hearing's great. Hearing's the beginning of it. But if we deceive ourselves, we tell ourselves that we're such a good hearer, but we're not a doer. We're entering into self-deceit. Psalm 73 in verses 2 and 3 is another way that we enter into self-deception. Psalm 73. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Here's another way that we deceive ourselves. We take our eyes off God and we start looking around at somebody else's advances or successes or just carefree life. Oh man, I wish my life was as easy as theirs. The psalmist realized that's when his feet began to slip. He was teetering on the edge. If you've well nigh slipped, that really means you're already slipping. You've realized you've gone through slipping. Now you're at the point of falling off. And look at what he says. I was envious at the foolish. As soon as he realized, as you read the whole passage, as soon as he realized that his focus was in the wrong place, he realized who it was he was envious over. The foolish. And once God got a hold of him, he went, wait a minute, I don't want to be like that. They're ruining their lives. I don't want to. Maybe they don't have the same pressure or responsibility or whatever going on. Maybe they have more prosperity, more free time, whatever. But they're foolish. I don't want to be like that. Is what he realized once he understood where his heart was going. But it was going because he had been a hearer and not a doer. He had not applied himself. And he'd begun to slip in the other direction. He'd told himself, he'd reached his level of spirituality, and in that passage, his spirituality wasn't doing anything for him. So maybe he should go try what they're trying. He was not holding fast to what God had shown him through the Word. In Proverbs, we have all through the book of Proverbs two voices. It's pictured as two women calling out to a young man. Somebody want to help me up with who these two women are? Come on, kids. Who are the two women calling out to the young man throughout Proverbs? The voice of wisdom, and then she's called different things, but the foolish woman or the wicked woman. So one calling out to the simple, come, have your pleasure, have your fun, get this money, come on, do things the easy way, do things the fun way. But then you also have the voice of wisdom calling out, come and do it God's way. Listen and learn. We have those two voices continually. It's not just calling out to the simple person. It's calling out to all of us. God's Word calls out as the voice of wisdom. And then it's really ourselves that our selfish desires that call out to us, oh, you know, do it the easy way. Do it the way that is more pleasing to you. Turn, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. Time out apostasy in the church in the end times, which every day we're closer, there's an increase in those that fall away from following God, and this is people in the church. And it says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Something about an evil man or a seducer, somebody who says, hey, and it might not be that great, but come along, do this with me. They're deceiving, but they're also being deceived. They're not just entering into it to lead others astray, but they're deceiving their own selves or following in the deceit of another. But if you follow in the deceit of another, you have done some amount of self-deceit. And the result of it in Timothy is the destruction of the church, apostasy in the church, turning away from sound doctrine, and here being an evil person or a seducer. Is that where we want to go? Do we want to change walking with God to being under God's judgment? As in the Corinthian church, where some slept. God said, you're doing too much damage to my name. Come home now. And if you look at the whole of Corinthians, I don't believe all of those were just lost people in church, because it talks about some would stand before him and their works would be tried with fire and burnt up, but they would be saved yet so as by fire. But there was definitely some that God said, no. Your testimony, the way you're walking is against me, and you're my child, so I can't have you defaming my name, so that's it. You're coming home now. Trust me, that's not the way you want to enter heaven. We all would much rather enter in and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But the church in Corinth thought they were doing just fine. That's why Paul wrote to them and said, hey, straighten up, guys. In 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, and with all deceivable... That's not the passage I was about deceiving, but it was not the passage I was after. I'm sorry. Let's go on to Colossians chapter 2. And verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So, this is something, again, we're warned to be cautious over. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Think about that. There's a lot of Christians today. There's a lot of good Bible-believing, saved Baptist American Christians that are getting caught up in philosophy. You can read a lot of commentators within the last 200 years that, oh, they're a good commentator, and then they're all off into philosophy. You got, if you're studying through a commentator, you got to be sure to compare them back to the Word of God all the time. When you're talking to friends, are you sure that is what the Bible says, or what they think about what the Bible says? There's, with the increase of internet preaching and the ability to read things online and watch things on YouTube or watch things on TV, which we don't really have that so much in our church, but we get a lot of stuff offline. And you have to beware, because it spoils philosophy, something that sounds really good. But Colossians said it spoils us, makes our understanding of the Scriptures rot away, really, through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And then Romans let me mention one more thing on Colossians. We listen to it, or we have a tendency to listen to it, because it is after the tradition of men, rudiments of the world. It sounds like something that fits how we think, how our understanding. And that's why it gets in there. That's one of the ways we let it slip. We deceive ourselves because, I can relate to that. Yeah, that I can wrap my mind around that without comparing back to the Word of God as we should. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." Here's another way we let self-deceit take over in our lives. We think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And that's easier than we think. Because, most of your thoughts include you, don't they? It's what you think about this, or what you think about that person, or what they think about you. Your thoughts are about you. And we need to be careful. I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, and woman, it means every person, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Here we see the correction and the salvation from this slipping away. Thinking soberly, as God hath dealt every man the measure of faith. If you're measuring your thoughts with faith, if you're measuring your thoughts with how God has dealt with you and with His grace, then you'll be able to conquer this slipping away. David found conquering from, or rescue from slipping away by returning to the house of God. Returning to the people of God, to the preaching of the Word and the singing in the house of God. All these passages that we've been looking at, if you look at their context, the correction is always in faith, in God's grace. Even as we go back into Hebrews, it's talking about the things of God's grace, the grace that the Old Testament, they desired to look into, but they didn't fully understand. We have it, and we're not to let it slip away. Turn, if you will, back to 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2. This is where I did want to go in that passage. And verse 15 says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast, and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or epistle." The correction, again, is in standing fast, holding what we've been taught. it says here traditions, but it's talking about the doctrines that are passed on in the church. It's talking about it says traditions that the apostles taught. So not just traditions of men, but it's the Word of God. And Titus 1 and verse 9. Titus chapter 1. And verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayer. This is in the qualification for elders. But when you look through it, it's not necessarily something where you read through and say, oh, well, I need to know this in case I ever have to help ordain an elder or call a pastor or whatever. No. This list is just the list of a godly Christian life. Every believer ought to be qualified to serve. Every believer ought to be holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. Hebrews 2:1 again. Take more earnest heed, lest at any time we let them slip. Not just take notice, but take more earnest heed. Working hard at it. And then working hard at it some more. To remember the things that we've been taught and to not waver and to build on them so we don't have to relearn the same thing over and over again. Tell you what, I learned some things over again this last week. Some stuff that I've preached from the pulpit and kind of let slide and going, yes, Lord, that's me. But you know, that's not a good position to be in. It's like, you know, building a house. And then, you know, let's say building a 3-story house. You've built the first story and you get down off the wall. And you start figuring out how to build the roof, right? No. You got to start figuring out how to build the next floor. We're supposed to learn and grow and be sanctified and build one block on another, not get down and redo the same thing over again. If we think, oh, I can get down for a break and not have to do anything for a while, we're deceiving ourselves and we're setting ourselves up to start slipping away. In the Proverbs, it says the field of the foolish man was overgrown with brambles and his walls were falling down. Why? Well, he was a sluggard. He didn't go and maintain what he had, what he'd already built. And so it crumbled instead. Let's not be sluggards. Let's examine ourselves for areas that we're deceiving ourselves. Hey, I'm all right. I got this one figured out. And be humble before the Lord that, you know, we're still in the flesh. And He wants us to be perfect, entire, and mature. And that's an ever-growing process. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that You help and guide and wash us with the water of Your Word and teach us Your ways. Lord, we're not reliant on our own understanding, and we thank You for that. Help us this evening to examine ourselves and to look in the mirror of Your Word and not forget what we see, that we might be doers of the Word, not hearers only. Help us to make some changes in our lives for Your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.